Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Hiro, and this is Soak Information Radio Podcast. This is our inaugural episode. Today is Sunday, November 6th. It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we are just coming off of an incredibly successful burnout. I'm joined today by several of my very close friends, and we're going to talk about several things, but I'll introduce we have Mr. Starfish, who is one of our producers for this event. Who will be talking about some of the open positions that we're looking for and what's going into the planning for the upcoming season. And then we have the beautiful Miss Sarah Blush joining us as well to be talking about what it's like to run a camp. So feel free to call in at any time. The telephone number is 503-894-7980. And this is live Sunday, November 6th, 3 o'clock. So if you are listening right now, you can call in and we'll talk. We'll take questions and see what you have to say. Interesting thing to note is that today marks 200 days until we open the gate at Soak. So it's coming right up, 6 months and 19 days. And the man burns in 300 days. So it's going to be a busy time in between now and those two things. So let's see here. We don't have series. My co-host hasn't joined us yet, but that's okay. We're flexible. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining.
Hello.
Okay. So let's talk about burnout for a little bit. I've got... So we had a really successful burnout. I think that it seemed like it was probably the most successful burnout that I've ever been a part of. What did you guys think? Chris, Starfish.
I thought it was great. The site was nice and spacious, good sound quality. It was nice to have it all dark inside. I had a good time.
Did you have anything that stuck out to you that was something that you really enjoyed, or something that was your favorite?
Yeah, the flat surface in the space allowed people to use roller skates and tricycles and other mobility devices, and there were many people whizzing around on skates. Nobody got hurt, even better.
I thought that was really cool, and if I had more dexterity on my feet, I would consider doing that. I attempted to stand on a skateboard for a brief second, and I realized the folly in that. In that effort. Nauticop, did I hear you join us?
I did.
Very good. Nauticop is with Central Services and does a lot of things around there with power and comms and helped set up the telephone system that was really popular last night. How did that go?
It went pretty well. The only real downside was it was pretty noisy. So it was hard for folks to hear, but a lot of kids had a lot of interest in picking up the receiver. There's some kids you could tell had probably never used an old style telephone before and were picking up and putting their ear against the mouthpiece. And it was good to see.
You're talking about the old style where you have the earpiece that you hold up to your ear. And then the mouthpiece is on
Yep, exactly.
You were driving around with that on your little electric cart.
Yeah, I was. I had, thankfully, because we were indoors and it's nice and flat, we were able to have a very small little electric art car where people could sit on the fenders and some of the skaters were being towed around on the car. And we had a phone on the cart, so as we drove around, we could take calls and listen to calls. It was good times.
Oh, that's great. I want to ask you, Blush, what did you think of the event last night?
Oh, it was lovely. I like seeing all the people and the costumes and the lights. The spectacle's great.
Did you have anything that stuck out to you that was more of your favorite or something that you really liked?
It's always really nice to see my friends making their art. Like, Tasha did it in the Skate the Room, which was really cute, and seeing Simran paint. So seeing people who I really like doing what they love and shining is awesome.
I didn't attend Burnout last year, but I did the year before, and it was at the Bossa Nova, and really suits us. It seems that it's really nice to have the space to spread out. I personally really like the kind of the three different dance areas, and they all had the music that was able to be kept separate, and then a lot of activities in the middle. I like the room that the castle was in. I thought that was really great, and I got some good opportunities in the photo booth. That was a lot of fun. It's always fun to see Simran, like you mentioned, doing the slow camera photo booth. And then the black light art project, and I got to make some fake toys for children with hot glue. That was fun. Just a lot of fun. And I got to play some music and do a little DJ set. And so I had a great time, and now I'm really looking forward to Burnout next year. So let's see. I want to move over topics now from Burnout. So, again, thanks for everybody, if you're listening, for participating in Burnout and for coming out. And now let's talk about Soak. Soak, believe it or not, is only 6 months and 19 days from starting. And one of the things that I wanted to do with this podcast was I think that there's a kind of a idea or some people in the community wish that we had a better way of communicating what we're up to when we're planning Soak and how we put Soak on. And that's what I wanted to do with this podcast. And so every week I'd like to get somebody who's working hard behind the scenes to make the event happen and what they're working on. And then somebody, you know, within the community that is working hard on putting the events together, whether they're an artist or a theme camp lead. And so that's why I have these two wonderful people with me today. Mr. Starfish has been our co-producer. This will be your third year, right, Starfish?
Yes.
And so what is it that you're currently working on or the team's currently working on in this early stage of the game to prepare for Soak?
Well, our production cycle really starts in earnest at the beginning of October. Since then, we've been working on putting together our mass gathering permit. The county where we hold the event requires a mass gathering permit, which is unusual for Oregon counties. Normally, you'd have to be, I believe it's 3,000 people to merit that, but Wasco County requires it for an event of any size. It's actually been kind of beneficial because it forces us to approach things in a very formal fashion, and that's benefited the event. My co-producer, Honeybee, and I started on that, you know, early October. The other thing we start to look at is our human resources and what volunteers are going to help us make this happen, because the event has many, many hands that go into it. And one of the important groups that are particularly influential in the outcome is the leadership team. That includes the producers, the regional coordinators, our board membership, but also every department at Soak has one or two or more leads that help direct the business of that department to make sure that things happen on time and all the details get taken care of, the staff get administered, the event happens. And from the production level, you know, we kind of set people up, make sure that they know what the expectations are, and then we let them go. We don't have time to pay attention to all of those tiny details. We have our eyes on the big picture. Our leadership team is about 40 plus or minus a few, so it's not small because we're not a small event. Our attendance last year, I think, was about 1,500 tickets in circulation, with about 1,400 people we believe showed up on site.
Okay.
And so it takes a lot of people to go ahead.
What are we targeting for this year? Do you think it's going to be about the same number of attendees?
That's the plan. You know, we felt like the scale that we're at right now is just right, and we don't want to push it. There are some definite costs to making the event larger than it can support itself. We're trying to be very cautious about expanding its size while recognizing that a lot of people want to go to it. So, you know, you have to balance those competing demands. And what it really comes down to is how much volunteers are going to come out, how many volunteers are going to come out, and how much time do they have to put into the event, because we're a volunteer-driven event. We employ, you know, contracted staff for, you know, security, medical, the porta-potties, but in a very limited fashion, almost all of the work is volunteers, and you can only grow as fast as your volunteer corps does.
I see. So you mentioned that the leadership team is about 40 strong, and right now there's some open positions. Is that because we've had new positions open, or we've had people decide not to come back as leads?
It's a little bit of both. You know, we, as we start the event cycle, we reach out to last year's leads and see who wants to come back. Some people would love to return and do the same thing they did last year. Others might want a change of scenery. I'd like to try something different. Hey, can you find space for me over here? And others have life to attend to outside of the event and, you know, are ready to do something else with their time. And so, you know, there's always a constant churn of turnover, both, you know, within the event with people changing seats, but also with people that have the time to make the commitments.
Okay. Well, that's good. And so I saw a post on Portland Burners Facebook, I think it was yesterday or the day before. And I just want to click this. We just had Ceres join us. So hello, Ceres.
Hey.
Hey.
Technical difficulties.
Oh, it's no problem. It's no problem. Welcome to the podcast. Ceres is my co-host. And this is our first one, so we're still figuring this out. But Starfish was just telling us that there's some open positions available. I saw a post on Portland Burners that was announcing some open positions for the Soak leadership team. What are these positions that are open right now?
Well, what we're looking for specifically is the top level leadership of four departments. We have some people returning, and we also have open spots because your typical department might have two people. That allows them to share the load, and people can go on vacation or go to their friend's wedding and not have the event cycle disrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Those four departments that we're looking for are the box office. Box office handles and manages the ticket sales in advance of the event. They also handle tickets at the event, distributing camping passes. It's a really important operational department, requires good attention to detail, good customer service skills, and it really is just critical that gets done well, or else we have a difficult to manage situations that can arise.
It sounds like it's a really important position. What type of person do you think would be ideal for being in this role?
Well, they would have a lot of availability pre-event. A lot of the work is done in front of a computer before the event starts, especially around the ticket sale. So that's, you know, having the time to spare is a big part. Having a good attention to detail, being able to, you know, keep a tight inventory and track of all these different things at once. Good documentation skills. So when you forget something, you can look up your notes and put the pieces back together and, you know, pick it up and carry it on, or make a structured handoff of something. And, of course, it's always nice to be patient and friendly and all of those things, too.
So, and then...
It's fun, even if it's a little bit bureaucratic. You know, each of these leads positions is fundamentally a fun thing to do. That's why people do it.
Absolutely. And so this is a co-lead position?
You know, we are not yet making determinations on exactly how we're going to structure the hierarchy within departments. It
okay.
might be a co-lead position. It might be a lead, like associate. Kind of depends on the people involved and what they want and what their relative skill levels are. We decided to not be so formal about that in the recruiting phase, just see who we can find and then figure it out from there.
Very good. So we've got box office, and then what other departments are we looking for leadership volunteers in?
So we're also looking for leadership in the DPW or Department of Public Works. These folks do a lot of the heavy lifting to make the event happen. They pick up and carry, you know, with a vehicle, a lot of the infrastructure onto the site. They help set up the site. They lay in paths. They put up, you know, safety line markings, keep people from going into areas they shouldn't. And then they break it all down and, you know, put it away when the event's over with. DPW is an opportunity to display some muscle, maybe sweat a little bit. The work can be strenuous, but it's not, you know, it's not backbreaking, but it helps if you can lift a bit.
And this sounds like, as opposed to the box office position where a lot of the hours are going to be spent in front of the computer months in advance, this one is going to be primarily a on-site pre- and post-event type of role?
Yes. All of the lead positions have some work in advance of the event. We have regular meetings. There's planning. But DPW is, compared to box office, has most of their role on-site during the event.
Okay. Okay, so we've got DPW, box office, and what else are we looking for?
We're also looking for assistance in our gate team. Gate has the important role of maintaining perimeter security at the event. They're the ones who make sure that people do not come in without tickets, that no one brings in forbidden materials. They are the wall that encircles the event. And to be good at gate, you have to have a really good grasp on the mission, as well as a focus on executing it efficiently. You can't afford to have traffic backing up because things are running slowly. At times, you have to be stern. Some people will try to talk their way through. You'll need to be able to be firm with them. It also, though, is a very important role. And Gate is one of our, you know, Gate and Rangers are the two largest departments at SOAK. And so there's a large number of volunteers in the Gate department as well. So you'll be working with a lot of people.
So it's a lot of personnel management in the Gate organization.
Yes, and on-site we even have shift lead positions, which actually segues into another thing. Well, we are at present only recruiting for the top-level lead positions. Anybody who expresses interest, we're probably going to be coming back to you and asking if you want to volunteer. There are other lower-level leadership positions that are going to be available during the event cycle. We don't have room for everybody at the top of the departments, but we do hope that those who apply and end up not being selected or are interested in continuing in some other capacity. There's lots of space for volunteers.
Well, speaking of that, you mentioned earlier that with 1,500 tickets being in circulation and 1,400 approximate people total, how many of those people are volunteers?
Last year, we had about 350 people volunteer in some capacity.
Wow. That's a lot.
So it's pretty substantial. It's not quite a quarter of the event.
Oh, yeah, I think about 20%. But so that really drives home the point that you're saying, that we really just cannot do this event. We can't scale without that volunteer force scaling along with it.
Yes. And these are just people that volunteer in an official, formal, trackable capacity. The artists that bring their art are also contributing to the event. The theme camps, which Blush is going to talk about later, also are contributing to the event. Everybody, or most everybody, is in some way or fashion. So this is just one aspect and one way to contribute.
Very good. Okay, so we are looking for Gate, DPW, box office, and what's the final leadership role that we need to get filled at this point in the cycle?
The final role we're looking for is to help with our sanctuary. Sanctuary works in conjunction with the Rangers and also with our medical team to help people that might be having a severe emotional crisis or some other issue that isn't a medical issue, but yet they need someone to listen, someone to be there with them, to hold space. And you know, skills for this would be, you know, prior experience working with people in a mental health setting, a high degree of compassion, a high degree of patience. A lot of times it's just a matter of being there for somebody and sharing yourself and sharing your time. Other times, though, people can have difficult days, and it can be emotionally stressful. So being grounded is also a really valuable trait for someone working in sanctuary.
Is this something that – so I know that Sanctuary was a new department that was added in last year's SOAK event. What are some of the lessons that we've learned and some of the things that we need to improve on when we're looking at, you know, going forward, if anything?
Well, as a new department, there were a few rough edges. You know, some of it some of the things that came out in the Afterburn report was a little bit better preparation of the space. That's easily enough done with some forethought. We did have a lot of volunteers last year. We didn't have trouble staffing it. So I think it's really going to be, you know, rather than, you know, what did we do wrong and can we do better, it's really what did we do okay and can we do even better?
Very good.
So there's going to be some opportunities with a newer department for, you know, setting some precedent there and some flexibility in the approach. Of course, all of that will happen, you know, in conjunction with the rest of the team under the supervision of the producers with your co-lead or assistant lead or whatever. So it's not, you know, completely free reign. It's structured. But yeah, there's some room for creativity and evolution of that department.
Okay, so I appreciate what you're saying about these leads coming in. What can the community look forward to kind of as a next step? What's the next big thing for participants, artists, theme camp leads to look forward to in this cycle that they can participate in?
So an application for the leads positions and formal descriptions of all of them you can find at soakpdx.org. We're going to be hoping to complete our hiring cycle there by the end of this month. Things will then go kind of quiet as the leadership team engages in planning. And sometime in the late winter, early spring, we'll be putting out a call for volunteers. And that'll be after all the plans have been laid and made. That'll be when we again reach out to the community and you'll see a surge in communications at that time. At that point, you could apply to be a volunteer. You'll see that there might be art projects that are looking for people to help them, fundraisers that are looking for assistance. Things really spin up for the rest of the event, late winter, early spring.
Okay, very good. Mr. Starfish, thank you very much for joining us. If you do have any questions or if you'd like to check out those positions and how to apply, soakpdx.org is the website. And, you know, feel free to check that out. Also, I know that a large number of people are active on Facebook through the Portland Burners and official Soak Facebook pages. Starfish, you got anything else to add before we start talking to Ms. Blush about theme camps?
Only that this is all a lot of fun and it's a delight to work with you all.
Very good. Thank you very much for joining us today. Please feel free to stay on, you know, if you'd like. You know, we're going to be here for a few more minutes. And we'll go over to Ms. Sarah Blush.
Meet a few.
At least
Hello.
A few. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, guys.
So,
hello.
How late did you get home last night?
Well, it depends on what two we're talking about. I had a friend who lived far away who stayed in my spare room last night, so he had to deal with all the things. We got home a little late. And after the donut stuff, of course.
Right. I think that had a lot to do with the fact that it was such a great night that we all kind of didn't want to go home. We were having too much fun.
Yep.
That's fantastic. One of the best things about last night, though, were the participatory theme camp representations that were out and about. There were a lot of people that were getting involved and making a thing and giving us ideas and just really participating, which I feel is one of the most important principles that we have really developed in this this thing that we do in the desert and beyond. And we were really looking forward to having you on the show because you have always been someone who has given a lot of time and participated in ways that were right for you. And one of the favorites was, I think, in the past, Misinformation Booth. Some people have been going to Soak, know you from that type of thing. Can you give us a little idea of what that was like?
So when I moved here from the East Coast, I was really looking for, obviously, a way to meet people, to make new friends, and really, like, find my own groove. And a friend had said to me on the way back from my first Soak, well, what do you want to do next year? And I wanted a Charlie Brown booth so I could have it be whatever I call it. And that kind of turned into something that I call the misinformation booth. which, you know, it ran its course. And if someone ever wanted to pick that up, they could definitely have at it. It just didn't really represent me or what I'm really passionate about, which is creating interaction where it doesn't normally exist. And from that passion, it turned into Snowball's Chance in Hell, which, as you know, is an idiom for things that shouldn't be possible that are.
Right.
And we had, and the way that it basically works is I have about 10 signs. They all interchange. If you come up to the booth and there's a specific sign up, that's what the booth is. So it definitely causes a little bit of confusion, which is some intentional and some not so much.
Right.
But
and for those who are not familiar with what this actually looks like, it's a nice little stand, and there's two hooks, and there's, what, 6 boards that all say something different and have holes, and you can switch out which one's hanging up at any given time.
Well, I can.
Yeah, the person behind the booth.
And there's different themes. So last year at SOAP, I had phenomenal placement by these 3 school camps who I love and I really respect. And I had this stinky little booth, and I felt like such a hack. And, you know, we just pressed forward, and on Friday night there was a line of 10 people all night till 2 in the morning. And it was wonderful. And what they were coming for was, you know, on the theme of the event, they were doing social experiments, and I would say, welcome to the Experimentation Society. My name is Sarah. We're running a social experiment. If you consent to this, that's great. If not, that's totally okay. And I would make up on the fly different things to send them to do, and it would normally involve them either talking to different people or going to see different art in a different way and really kind of just trying to change a little bit of perspective to broaden it just a hair. And the way that it was received and the way that it was successful completely floored me. And I've been doing art off and on for my whole life, and it was truly the first time I ever felt like I had done something that was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, it was. I had a lot of fun there. I think there's a charm to it, too, in that you can just step in. And it's not very big responsibility to do it. It's just very quick, and I can stop at any time, you know. You can go on and do something
else. That's important, you know. I mean, like, for me, it was, when I came here, I felt so, you know, being from a different coast, there was a lot of different social nuances that I didn't quite get yet, and I knew that there was that separation there, and how do I approach people and be myself and still fit in? So if I have a booth, well, I'm not approaching people, so the rejection factor is nil, right? So this is a way for me to set up space. But plus, I'm also giving people permission to do something that they might want to do but wouldn't normally feel comfortable doing unless they were invited to do so. So in a way, I was granting not just myself permission, but anyone else as well. So it was a really copacetic, easy relationship. And, you know, so I would see these, like, 3 theme camps next to me that were awesome and had so much people and work. And when mine started, it was just 1 or 2 people. And truthfully, last year, I was convinced it would be me and, like, 1 other person camping there. I think we had, like, 7 campers. It was crazy. I was like, how did this happen? And it was truly an experience I was incredibly grateful for. And I can't wait until the booth decides to tell me what it's going to do this year.
All right. And I think you touched on something very important, actually a couple of very important things there, but the consent portion of your booth, as it were, your space, your safe space, is very valuable, I think, in that intersection. It's definitely something I think that we like to include in our space here at SOAK so that we have opportunities to feel safe to go do something outside of a comfort zone. Every time you challenge that comfort zone, it's very important.
Yep. And I think that if you can kind of game it a little bit to a way where it's permissionable and it's fun. Like, one of the social experiments was go find 2 other people and go off to see the wizard who does this beautiful art with light. And they had to go off and literally see the wizard, so it was arm in arm and singing that dorky song. The thing is that, like, But sitting at the booth, seeing like maybe a group of like older women with some super young kids who had never even looked at each other at SOAP, well, we're all here together, and then go look at the art together and talk about it. And then they would come back and report like they had known each other for and were friends. So it was just, it put me in awe that I was like, I helped make that happen. But truly, it was the people that were brave enough to be like, I don't know you. I don't know that. I've seen you, but I've never talked to you. And okay, we'll do this. And
right.
having that actually, you know, be successful. And honestly, sometimes I'm sure it was an epic failure, and that's okay too. But it's like if you don't try, you're just never going to get past that gate.
Exactly. And that's, I think, what's important about our group is we encourage you to just go for it. And if you fall flat on your face, that's fine. We'll pick you up. And
yeah.
we'll give you bacon
and
we'll, you know.
Well, that's why the consent part is really important. And part of my quote-unquote spiel was if you do this successfully, that's awesome. You can move up to the next level. And if you don't, that's okay too. Because there's really
right.
no judgment in I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I'm not comfortable. Everyone has, like, their own bag. I mean, you know, what did you do today? Who did you talk to? How did your mood influence this, that, or the other? And you never really know what someone else is walking through or what kind of pain that they might be in. So giving
right.
them a full circle of allowability and also flexibility to be like, okay, if this doesn't work for you, let's change it. You know, we can work with this. And that makes, I think, comfortable with the understanding that, you know, there's always going to be some people that are like, you're misinformation, shut up. And it's, you know, I mean, that's cool, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, I think that it's like if you can help a little bit of your community all the time, then that's something.
Yes, that's something that we've all been dealing with lately is there's some serious stuff going on in the world and some serious distractions for people that will hopefully end this week, and we're not going to get into that because politics, but you know, we need to support each other through these things, and it all starts with small, little actions. One teeny action can have a very large effect.
I still have my teenage angst fantasies of wanting to save the world. That certainly hasn't died down like I thought it was going to, but... and you're
well,
right.
Well, I hope it never does.
I was told it was going to. I'm still waiting.
Right, but that's
in the meantime, I do really enjoy that, yes.
Yeah, but that's also something we go to Burning Man to, I think, and these burn events, and any burnout, Woozday, pick your social event. It's so that we can remember to play. Because we live in a world that discourages us from doing that.
You know, I first went to Burning Man when I was living in New York. I was working at Goldman Sachs. I was pretty near committing Harry Caray. I mean, it was really not a good existence. And what I was going to, I thought, was something where I could learn about other people or other things. And I ended up learning more about myself. And while I kept on going, that really continued. And it really just brought in my world in so many different veins and ways. And it enriched me in ways that I could never have comprehended at the time. So
right.
I think that, I mean, like, that's why I think that people end up going it. It's like, you know, every time that you leave your house, you have a mindset that it's some sort of an adventure than it's going to be.
Right. I think that's definitely something that draws people there. I mean, we definitely have what we would call tourists who want to go to check it off a bucket list. And I don't think anyone really wants to discourage them from coming either, because no matter what reason you choose to follow that brings you there, you will come home a different person from any event that we ever do. I think we also had several artists last night that experienced the same thing that you did with the response to their art was overwhelming and filled them and jazzed them and got them thinking about doing the next project. And really, that's an important part of our burn experience, is that rejuvenation.
Yep, that works for me.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you, because you are one of the people who's been burning a little while and you've had an experience from different perspectives on that, was what would you have told yourself, baby burner you, if you could give a piece of advice before going to a burn event, what would it be?
That's
a small question.
I'm certainly not the same person in age or in maturity. I had one year where literally every single little fantasy that came into my head came true, and it was verifiable, quantifiable. I told people what was going on. They would ask for a certain, like, dinner or dish, and it would manifest within seconds. And I was convinced that this was, like, the world being magical instead of me having anything to do with it, where, in fact, I did. And I think it was the trusting myself and knowing that, you know, and it's not even that I'm enough, because I think that that could be said for everybody, but I was trying, and I was present. And that's so much of it. And I never saw that then, so I was making poor choices with either, you know, like choosing to commune with the wrong people that were wrong for me and not really kind of fighting for the people that would really feed my soul in a healthy way instead of me chasing something that was just not healthy.
So by wrong, are you saying that people that make you feel drained at the end of the day rather than energized? That kind of idea?
In a roundabout manner of speaking, sure. I think it's probably more people that just were chasing other dreams down that I really had no interest in. And, you know, having, like, those fears that everybody has, like, I don't want to be alone out here, and I want people to like me, and I'm looking for this, and I want to be validated in this way, but not really understanding that. And not saying, okay, stop, you've got this, just go for a walk, it'll be there, and not having that kind of, like, faith in myself. So that's one piece of advice. And the second piece of advice, and this is probably by far the most valuable, is don't eat bad melon.
Okay. I could probably my
first
food
year
in general.
Yeah, my first year I had 3 bags of saline pumped into my arm. It was really fun.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I should note that I haven't been to Burning Man since 2007. And I really fell in love with regional burns just because, you know, I mean, getting out there, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of dust. And I want to go see the rest of the world. I've been out of the world enough. And the regional burns really fill that thirst for that kind of artistic amazingness that it is. And I do think that that's what the burn actually is intended.
Well, it may have also been what it started out as, and it has now outgrown that. And we're potting new plants in these regional burns that are going to become, you know, giant oaks eventually too. But for now, they are in a stage that Burning Man used to be in.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Yeah. So I can see what you mean about also wanting to include more other things in life. That is definitely a time commitment. It's a financial commitment for a lot of people. Not just the ticket price, but transportation and making sure you have all the food you need for now up to 2 weeks, depending on which camp you're with. And the regional burn is a much smaller commitment, but still the same flavor. So for our event, general population usually attends somewhere between 4 and 5 days of the 5 days. Some people don't show up until the next day after opening. Last year, I think we had quite a few people who were involved in theme camps who were there already. So their commitment was a little bit more like a week. But it's still, it's about finding what is your right fit.
That's how I got the theme camp started, because I wanted to get there a day early, truthfully.
You want to get in early, it's nice to bring an art piece or a theme camp, because then we have, you know, otherwise we're not really into letting people just come and party while others are trying to get their things set up.
I will say it is quite obviously a fair amount of work, mental,
yeah.
physical. I mean, it is well worth it. But I had the booth there as like an art piece that was quote unquote illegally placed for a year or two, and we went with legitimate because it was just too much work to get it there in that short period of time. And I was like, wait a minute, I'll be a theme camp, and I didn't realize until this past soap that that was actually okay, and that my idea was that it worked. I mean, it was pretty awesome.
Right. Yeah, that's the whole reason why we give you early entry, so that you can set up and help us be part of making magic when people come in.
Yeah.
I've talked to a lot of volunteers and participants and theme camp leads, and they say that exact same thing, that they're so excited to get to soak that's why they do it. That's why they do the volunteer, because they want to get in a day early. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to be honest with you.
I know, I was like guilty.
You know,
definitely
at the time, I got to say it felt a little fishy. And that was because I didn't realize that booth could actually really be a legitimate theme camp that would make people happy. I think that the placement that we had this past year really changed the way that it worked, and it really touched a lot of people. I remember walking away at 1 point, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I left the booth, and that people kept it running actually almost all night. And I had to take a breath and just step back and bask a little bit because it was really overwhelming.
Let your baby be what it is. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
I mean, she did that all by herself. I mean, thankfully the ideas kind of come to me in last minute panic about what the signs will say and what the shtick will be, and it works. And when people get it, they get excited about it. And I've had people who went to camp with me this year. And so, I mean, if anyone is interested, that's awesome as well. And all I do is I babysit it.
Right.
Well, I'm excited about the potential collaboration that you and I are going to be doing. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
But don't,
and,
don't tell him the secrets right now.
No, I'm not.
Tell about what?
But we're going to come up with, we're going to do a cool project, the two of us, and I'm really looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Me too. I actually thought about that when I saw you last night.
Yes. I was thinking the same thing, and then we just didn't get around to talking about it. You know, it was such a short event. It felt like it was over too soon for me, speaking of burnout. And, you know, really every soak and every burnout and every burn is always too short. You know, you never feel like you have enough. And I think that's why we all keep coming back.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
Well, since I know that the producers are all listening, I know that in some regions they do two soak type of year. Just saying. don't get hit by my buses, please.
All right.
I think Sarah just
started the
volunteer to start working on another event. I think she wants to run another event.
I believe
that's how
we do things around here. It's a duocracy.
You know what? The saying is: if somebody says somebody should do this, you know,
basically,
look in the mirror.
You basically volunteered.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
Ms. Sarah Blush, I appreciate you joining us today. And Mr. Starfish, I appreciate you joining us today. I was wanting to circle back on where we were supposed to open the show, which is news. And Grace, did you have any topics for news that you wanted to discuss?
Well, there... this week is going to be a big week in the United States, so be aware of your friends and things. There's going to be changes happening there, so I'm sure we will all need to reach out and support each other on that one. As far as major events going on right now, I believe the next affiliated sort of maybe not quite thing will be SantaCon coming up in December, if you'd like to get involved with the CACOs and a group that's connected to burn and does similar things but is not quite connected solidly. That's a good opportunity. If you're a Woosday fan, please note it is Election Tuesday. If you show up, there will be a certain crew, but likely there will be a lot of people who are not there this week because they're monitoring things. So if you're new, I would say maybe hang off a week until we're sure that there will be some people there in the mood and ready to hang out with you. As far as other news topics, I don't know, how do you want to get into this? Do we want to go worldwide?
Yeah, well, so we've got the election. I think that you're right. I think Lou's will probably be light. I might stop by. I might not. I'm not really interested in the election politics.
Yeah.
So
that's the crew that's going to be there, is the people who don't want to talk about it at all.
Right.
You
there's
know,
no TV
want to
there,
be escaping.
So. There's no TVs there, so you won't be bombarded by the CNN and the Anderson Cooper or whatever. What do you got worldwide? What's going on worldwide in the world of burners?
In the world of burners? Well, we've got Burners Without Borders is always a great group to bring up. If you're interested in getting yourself involved on a larger scale and getting out of town to do Bernie-type things, please do get involved with them. Let's see, we also have Seat Compression next weekend. If you didn't get enough decompressing and you'd like to do more, Seattle is not that far away from Portland, 2 hours drive. And I believe there will be a lot of burners in the area who will be able to crash, hop on the boards and contact them. That would be an easy way to do that. And there are several hotels around the area that have really good rates too.
I know that Seat Compression is there's still tickets available. It's a different type of event than Burnout, where Burnout is more
right.
like a I know it does go all day, but it starts at 2, but Seat Compression is a daytime party, and and it's not really much of a party. It's more of like a family get together burn, and it's a different type of event, and I've heard that it's a lovely event. I think that if you really like the connection that you can make in a daytime type of burning environment, I think that the Seat Compression would be something that would be really worthwhile to attend.
Right. A bunch of us went last year, and even though it was pouring rain and freezing, we had a fantastic time. So as Starfish likes to say, there is no bad weather, only inappropriate clothing.
That's right. just circling back. One thing that I forgot to mention about Woos Day, a lot of people that are listening may not know exactly what that is. Woos Day is Tuesday night from 5 to whenever. And it's just not really anything formal, just burners get together at a local bar, called Roadside Attraction. It's on 12th. It's a cash bar, so if you do come, there's an ATM. You can't use a Visa card or anything like that. Some days we're real busy. Some days we pack the place, and some days it's pretty light, and just a local gathering. And there's always a nice selection of friendly burners to converse with at Woos Day. I think that
right.
Unless you have anything else, I think that I'd like to wrap up this show in a few more minutes. And
okay.
We'll go ahead and we're going to be doing this again next Sunday, and I'll be live in Vancouver, Canada next Sunday. And please do call into the show. The telephone number is on the webpage, but it's 503-894-7980. We're always happy to take your calls and your questions. We'll have two new and exciting guests. Series, do we have any idea of who those guests are at this point, or do we still need to confirm that?
Oh, there's someone who expressed some very high interest, but we need to confirm with her, but I think she'll be into it. And then we need to form another section of the show, focus, so we can figure out who the next one is. But
very
if
good.
You have anything exciting that you do in the world that you'd love to share with us, there's a lot of artists who do very unique art form, and we would love to hear from those kinds of people about how they got started, found that passion, anything related to that kind of topic. Inspiring. We're looking for inspiring people.
Speaking of which, one thing that we haven't talked about at all with Burnout last night was the Wiz's amazing project. He always has amazing projects, but the one that he had last night with the LEDs that he had programmed to do different colors with the projection onto the light for dancing was really magical. I really like that. And shout out to the Wiz. Nicely done as always.
Yes, dear.
All right, very good.
He does some really cool stuff.
He certainly does. Miss Sarah Blush, thank you so much for joining us. Mr. Starfish, thank you so much for joining us. And
yeah,
Sarah,
you
thank you as well. What's that?
Yeah, you're welcome.
I think that we'll go ahead and wrap the show in here. And I appreciate everybody joining us. And we'll see you next Sunday live at 3 o'clock Pacific time. Have a great day, everybody, and a good week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.